Captain Kirk gets arrested and sentenced to a lifetime of hard labor by the same people who murdered his son, and yet somehow still manages to be such a whiny little turd about it that I think I'm on the Klingon side? Eh? Robin looks shocked. It's Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country. It was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Hello, my name is Sean Collier. I'm here with two people who wanted bigger parts in this nondescript Greek tragedy. It's Camila Adams.
Surprise, Sydney.
And Robin Hitchcock.
Opening the box again.
What a wonderful time we had talking about Scream 2, 83 and a third. That is 18th overall on our big list. Seventh place in horror.
Wow.
Who knew? We've been rating horror very highly.
Well, we have had some really good ones.
Yeah. It is behind Get Out, Carrie, Silence of the Lambs, Alien, The Fly, and Seven.
Yeah, how is Scream 2 going to compete with
right.
that?
Right, yeah. Sorry.
But still, very, very good. And it just feels like Scream news has been dropping constantly.
All over the place. Every day, something new. And I don't know if my heart can take it.
I don't know if I can keep hearing things about this movie for another year. I saw maybe it's coming out early 26.
Yeah, and just, I don't like all of this news about it. I remember the day when...
You're like, too many spoilers?
Yeah, like, I remember the day when, you know, we get one, maybe two little nuggets on Entertainment Tonight.
Right. Yeah. It's happening at a college this time.
Right. And now it's just like everybody's like, you know what? Let's keep some secrets.
Yeah. They need content.
Let's not, you don't have to lift the dress all the way up.
No.
Well, we should do a thing. We should go to Scream 7 together,
yes.
Whatever it is.
I agree.
Maybe even record like in the old...
Oh, I love that idea.
Number one, you can't handle the truth.
Our immediate reaction.
Yes.
Yeah.
Love it.
But today, we've never talked about Star Trek before. And so
I've never talked about Star Trek in any form, shape, in my life.
So you have no engagement with this?
I have zero. Like, I tried to. It's Star Trek for me was always the cue for me to go to bed. You know, that was the, you know, Star Trek comes on. It's like, all right, it's time for me to go on about my business. Because, you know, I am from the age where I was a child, there were five channels before I was there pre-cable. Right. So I know what that was like. And I tried to watch the first one.
Yeah.
And my interest was not there. Mm-hmm. And I was like, let's save it for the one I have to watch.
I think that's fair. That's totally valid. But how was your experience with the one you had to watch?
What language is this?
I mean, English and Klingon.
Klingon sometimes. Yeah.
No, not even like, it's just, I couldn't connect.
Too much lore?
Yeah, it was just too much to, like, six? That's a rough one for me to, like, just jump into. Like, that's a lot. There was nothing there for me.
I don't know. When Star Trek hits me, I usually like it. Mm. The first Star Trek I ever encountered was the first in the reboot series.
Really?
I've
seen that one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes me feel a little better.
Yeah. Chris Pine. Come on.
Right.
Obviously. Did you see the sequels of that series?
Maybe.
Okay.
It's one of those I didn't like make an appointment to watch them.
Right.
I was like, oh, it's on.
One of them is garbage. One of them's pretty good.
Gotcha.
I probably caught an episode of Next Generation here and there when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But that was it. And I saw the first Chris Pine one and liked it. And I remembered, like, maybe this is me now. And I watched literally the pilot of Star Trek, of the original series, which is pre-Kirk.
Mm.
And was like, that was good, but it felt like it took a while. They're hour-long episodes that feel an hour long.
Yeah. You need to watch the episode of the original series where they recut the unaired pilot into the episode. It's one of the best episodes.
But, you know, and then I, for some reason, we went and saw Wrath of Khan in like an in-theater screening.
And that movie fucking rules.
That movie's good. And I watched my aunt, who's a big fan, like told me which episode of the original series I needed to watch to understand Wrath of Khan, and I did, and I liked it. I'm just not willing to. It's too big of a big of an ocean to dive into.
Yeah, that's what I was. My hopes were like when we pulled this, I was like, I'll watch the first one, maybe. I am an adult now, and I can understand what's going on, and maybe I will reach this level of appreciation where Star Trek, blah, 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 blah. No. I am still seven.
Robin?
I've liked this since before I was seven. I mean, honestly, the thing you were talking about of, like, it just being on all the time, like, I remember that, too, and I had also Next Generation happening when I was a kid, and I don't remember a time I didn't know Star Trek. Wow. Like, it's just, it's been baked in forever. And, like, I remember being upset that I couldn't make my hand do the Vulcan salute. And so I would, in the car, because it's easier to do if you press up against something, I would just put my hand in the Vulcan salute.
Your hand's sideways. Are you doing it now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why couldn't you do it then?
Because I was four?
And to learn how to manipulate.
Yes.
At that age, yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'm saying, like, that's how I learned. I cared enough to learn. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like I said in the last episode when we drew this, like, Star Trek is something that defines people's lives and values and media consumption in general. And I'm nowhere close to there, right? I've never even seen DS9. I've never seen... I've seen some episodes of Voyager. I've never seen any of the Bakula episodes. And like all the Paramount Plus stuff, never seen it. So like that is all a mystery to me.
Yeah.
But I own this series, like I own the movie series on Blu-ray. And I've seen every episode of the original series multiple times. And I believe I've seen every episode of TNG.
Wow. There are 12 Star Trek television series.
Oh, I'm going to go over the numbers.
Okay. I've also seen most of the animated series, which is surprisingly good. I mean, like, the animation is god-awful, but, like, the stories are great.
So you are a Trekkie.
Yeah, I mean, I feel weird saying that because like,
you're
people
not...
would come up to me and quiz me on shit, and I can't, I'll fail, right?
You don't have,
well, fuck those face will get me!
You don't have Jonathan Frakes' face tattooed on your body, but...
Fuck those people. If you want to call yourself a Trekkie, damn it. I think you've put in the work, Robin. You've earned it.
Okay, thank you, Camila. thank you for validating me.
So as someone who's Star Trek curious, what makes this franchise distinct from your Star Warses and your Marvels and your Battlestar Galacticas and Doctor Who's? What's the thing?
Belief in a better world.
I have a big question.
Yeah.
Maybe not that big. But is this, when is there Earth? Just like, I mean, there is Earth. But like, is it normal Earth? Like, you know, like, like Kirk is from like Vermont.
Iowa.
Oh, okay.
He's from Iowa.
Okay. That's one thing I do know. They have a marker for his future birthplace in Iowa.
Huh.
Like you can go visit where he will be born 100 years from now.
Yeah. Most of the Enterprise crew are from Earth.
Okay. Yeah. Mm. I mean, I knew there was an Earth in this world, but I just didn't know if it was like a normal Earth.
So one thing that's kind of fun is that 2024 is a really important year in Star Trek history. The reunification of Ireland, and then there's also something called the Bell Riots, which is mostly explored in DS9, and I've never seen it. Mm-hmm. But basically, it was like society was so fucked up in 2024 that they were like, "We gotta fix this," and that's how the values that allowed the Federation to exist happened.
We can dream.
Belief in a better world is the difference between Star Trek and most other popular sci-fi.
Gotcha.
Let me tell you what happens in this movie, kind of. Because a lot of things happen. I don't understand all of them. And I certainly can't say all of them in 60 seconds, but...
I just want to pause and say I'm mad I wore contacts today because I should be dramatically pushing up my glasses.
You're right. Right.
All right, sorry to interrupt.
You could borrow mine, but then I couldn't read all of these words, most of which are the word Klingon. Tell me when to go.
Go.
The Klingons' moon blows up. Sulu's new ship, the Excelsior, is nearby and tells Starfleet about it. It turns out the Klingons ruin their interstellar environment and will die off in 50 years if they don't make peace and get help from the Federation. The Federation gets the Enterprise gang back together to go escort the Klingons to a peace conference, even though the Klingons killed Kirk's son and he's still pretty miffed about it. The Klingons and the mostly humans have a tense dinner and get drunk together, but that night, a mysterious force attacks the Klingon ship and two dudes in spacesuits murder the Klingon Chancellor. Cut to Kirk and Bones get arrested and sentenced sentenced to hard labor for life for the murder. They're stuck on a prison planet, but break out with help from Iman because we know she likes white dudes with velvety voices. Only she was actually a shapeshifter trying to trap them, but no matter, the Enterprise has figured out where they are and beams them up. Cut to, it turns out that a group of renegade Federation members and Klingons stage the assassination to prevent the peace treaty, led by teenage Klingon evil helmsman Kim Cattrall. Kirk and the gangs show up at the peace conference, prevent another assassination, peace happens, and the original series crew rides off into the sunset, except kind of just into the sun, because we're in space.
That's what happens in this movie?
I think you'll find that Valeris is a Vulcan, not a Klingon.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Teenage Vulcan evil helmsman.
You're two seconds over.
Sorry.
That's a lot.
Undercut my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles pun by getting the race wrong. I apologize. Vulcan. She's a Vulcan.
But is she? That's one of the things that bothers me about this movie. She's not behaving logically. And like, it is a thing that Vulcan's whole commitment to logic is kind of pretend. That like, it's not a biological imperative that they act logically. It is their culture. But she is not acting logically even a little bit.
So they're not supposed to be emotional at all, right?
Correct. Right. Okay. But like, Spock is half human.
Oh, okay.
So it is possible, like, Spock's obviously the Vulcan I'm most familiar with, so it's possible that his, like, regular fits of intense emotionality are his human side, but I'm pretty sure it's cultural and not biological.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that all happened. It's kind of a... we're kind of just walking around and saying stuff in this movie. Like, it's not... I don't dislike it, but the trailer...
The galaxy stands at a crossroads.
This is the Starship Enterprise. We've been ordered to escort you to your meeting on Earth.
Guess who's coming to dinner?
On the verge of peace.
The undiscovered country. The future.
On the brink of war.
We come in peace, and you blatantly defy that.
Now, the crew of the Starship Enterprise
will not be the instigators of full-scale war on the eve of universal peace.
They're coming about.
Battle stations.
Fights not to win battles.
Incoming.
Signal our surrender.
Captain?
We surrender.
But to end them forever.
This is Captain Sulu, USS Excelsior.
She cannot take much more of it.
Cry havoc! And let's slip the dogs of war.
Fire.
Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country.
The trailer promises action-packed space time.
Yeah.
And it really is mostly meetings and conversations.
Stay tuned for You Can't Handle the Truth.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. I thought the trailer looks awesome. But yeah. Like, spoilers, I also think this movie is awesome. Like, I think this is a, like... I like the diplomacy fights in this movie.
It's interesting. That's why I said that about Kirk in the cold open. Like, he's so dour and angry.
Mm.
And I think that's an interesting character choice.
Because it's not... I wrote down, I forgot about David, even though I watched Search for Spock yesterday.
Is that what happens? His son is in Star Trek V?
His son is in Star Trek 2 and 3, and he dies in 3.
And just because the Klingons just are, fuck you, we're killing your son.
It's all, was do you like want a, me to explain? Because
well,
I will.
Sure. I mean, well, was it like a direct, like, we're killing your son? Or was it like he was a casualty?
There is a piece of technology that the Klingons want that it will, like, bring things back to life, basically. Yeah. Including Spock, spoilers. And the Klingons are like, we got to get this. And in that skirmish, he dies.
Oh.
Christopher Lloyd kills him.
Mm.
Christopher Lloyd was a Klingon?
He sure was.
Mm.
At this point, I'm starting to believe that the Star Trek movies are much like Law and Order, as to where, like, everybody in Hollywood has been in them at a certain point.
And multiple times, because David Warner, who was in Scream 2 as Sydney's drama teacher, is in
Why,
this.
Tony?
Yeah. And also in Star Trek 5 as a different character.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, when Christian Slater was there
okay,
for a minute,
hold
for
on.
No reason.
Christian, I missed that.
Because he was like half in dark. He like showed up to give somebody a message for 30 seconds.
Okay.
And he's already, it's 1991. He's already Christian Slater.
I know why this happened.
Okay.
Because he's a nerd and likes Star Trek and okay. his mom's the casting director.
Stop it. And I love it.
I wrote down whoever cast Kim Cattrall as a Vulcan needs to go to jail. And I was like, oh, I guess Christian Slater's mom needs to go to jail.
Sorry.
Because she is incapable of not flirting and Vulcans don't flirt. I mean, Spock flirts sometimes, but Spock is half human. She is incapable of not flirting. She's threatening Spock's life flirtatiously.
Yeah, I was confused as to what was going on there with that. I was, for a hot second, I thought, is this the way Vulcans make love? With the face pressing?
I mean, I'm pretty sure they must mind meld during sex, right?
Mm. Yeah, I mean...
I mean, wouldn't... It cut out the middleman.
Right.
Right?
I guess.
That was
they kiss with their fingertips.
Oh, don't love that. Star Trek VI was released December 6, 1991, the 24th and penultimate nomia of that year. $18.1 million in its opening weekend. At the time, that was the record for highest December debut and highest debut for a film based on a TV show. Neither of those would last very long, but broke the record at the time. Just a one-week number one movie in America. The last 3 weeks of 1991 and the first week of the following year would be won by Hook. Hook was about to take over. You don't like Hook?
I am the only person my age who doesn't like Hook. Rufio's hot.
Yeah.
That movie's a disaster.
I mean, I haven't revisited it.
Yeah. Disaster.
In 18 years or so.
Terrible movie.
Maybe we'll find
Don't
out.
At me.
Know, it's right? It's a 4 week number one movie in America. Maybe we'll get there. This spent 5 weeks in the top 10, $74.8 million. That is 15th overall for 1991. How many of these things are there? There are 13 Star Trek movies over the course of a 37 year span. Six films with the original cast, beginning with Star Trek the Motion Picture in 1979, ending with this film, The Undiscovered Country, in 1991. Between 94 and 2002, there were four films with the Next Generation cast. There were three kind of reboot, kind of multiversy.
Yes.
Chris Pine movies.
Correct. They are
both. Because Spock's in them.
They had their cake and they ate it too in a way that I actually really respect.
Yeah.
Like Leonard Nimoy is Zachary Quinto's dad, right?
Nope. Same person. Basically, it's like
that's right.
Spock time travels right. and mm-hmm. creates a new timeline, which these movies can
sure
play around with.
We'll yeah. take it.
I very much like that they did that.
That was Star Trek in 2009, Star Trek Into Darkness at 2013, and Star Trek Beyond in 2016. I remember feeling mixed about Into Darkness and hating Beyond, or is it the other way around?
It might be for you.
Yeah.
Into Darkness is garbage and Beyond is pretty good. I don't know.
I don't remember.
So there's this whole thing with Star Trek movies where people say the odd numbered ones are bad and the even numbered ones are good. Having just torn through most of the first six, I don't actually think that holds up. Mm. And also note that if you want to make it work through the J.J. Abrams ones, mm-hmm. you have to pretend Galaxy Quest is a Star Trek movie.
Why?
Because, I mean, it is.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a Star Trek property, but uh-huh. it exists exactly like a Star Trek movie would.
Uh-huh.
And it's good. So if you pretend it's the 10th.
Oh, if you want to make the I
or 9th mm-hmm. or something. Anyway, mm-hmm. in any case, all of this is to say, my actual theory for what makes a good Star Trek movie is, does it feel like an episode of the show?
Mm. Mm.
And this one does.
Okay.
And I would say that Beyond does,
mm-hmm.
and Into Darkness feels like a movie and a bad one.
Mm.
Yeah.
Those are the only theatrical films to date, though. Here's another why, Tony. The first streaming Star Trek film, Section 31, just came out like 6 weeks ago.
Starring Academy Award winner Michelle Yeoh, and apparently it is god-awful.
Aw.
Yeah. I was curious and then heard bad things, but yeah. That's on Paramount Plus if you need a hit. There are 12 TV series.
Can I try
to name
them? Yeah.
Wait, I have the list.
Okay.
All right. The original series, the animated series, The Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, Enterprise, Discovery, Strange New Worlds, Lower Decks. I'm out.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
That's nine.
Yeah, you did them almost in chronological order.
That's how I was going.
Star Trek or Short Treks.
Oh.
Picard.
Oh, Picard.
And Prodigy.
I don't even know what Prodigy is.
Apparently it started in 2021 and it still airs today.
Okay.
Between the fact that there's another series on the way and the fact that some of these are theoretically still airing, there are 940 episodes.
Holy wow. cow.
And counting of Star Trek.
Wow.
So it's that thing where it's like, do I want to get into something that I will probably not finish ever in my life?
Yeah.
Or, and I mean, there's something nice about that. Let's like on Community, when that's why they introduced Abed to Doctor Who, because mm-hmm. they knew that he needed something that wouldn't end.
Right.
You know?
I mean, the premise of our show.
Inspector Space-Time, not Doctor Who.
Whatever. But yeah. like the premise of our show.
Yeah.
Is a thing that as a project a task that we can never accomplish.
Yeah. Right. Or do I want to go, there's 940 episodes. I'm not doing this. There's no way.
I know where I stand.
I've said that about I've literally said that about Buffy because it's like 180 episodes. I'm like, that's too big of a commitment.
Sir.
Absolutely. That's silly.
I need you.
180
You can
sittings.
Do it. You can do
also,
it. 160. Like, why would you do it one at a time?
Right.
I know. I mean, occasionally a sitcom I'll do too. But like, this is part of why I don't really get into TV,
okay,
right? I
even,
never watch multiple
even
episodes.
If you do five a week, you can do it in a year.
Has Mary Beth watched Buffy?
I don't think so.
She would like it to.
I think so. Mary Beth.
We gotta work on this.
I have a heart out. We don't have time for Buffy discussions. In the Star Trek episode.
R.I.P. Michelle Trachtenberg, though.
Yes. 12 of the 13 movies, including all six with the original cast and all three reboots, are Nomias. 12 out of 13 are
wow.
on our list.
Damn.
The only one that isn't is Star Trek Nemesis from
Starring
2002.
Starring Tom Hardy.
Ah, yeah.
Sorry.
don't think I hadn't thought about watching that. But I'm like, nah, he's like heavily made up. But who cares?
That's the last film with the Next Generation cast. And it was close. It lost by less than $200,000 to Made in Manhattan.
Which I've never seen.
But for...
it's cute.
Yeah. Sure. But for that... it would be a perfect record of number one movies in America. This was not one of the top grossing ones. Undiscovered Country is the fourth lowest grossing Star Trek movie. The only ones that made less are Nemesis, its predecessor, Insurrection.
Which I saw in the theater.
Was that your first?
I think so. I think my first and only. Oh, well, no, I guess I've seen the J.J. Abrams ones.
The direct predecessor to this film, Star Trek V, The Final Frontier, made a little bit less. Nemesis is the lowest at $43.2 million. The three reboots are the top grossing, obviously. 2009 Star Trek, $257 million. If you adjust for inflation, the original is the top grossing, over $350 million in today's dollars. Just a few quick things. This film was made after The Next Generation was already on the air.
Right, because Michael Dorn appears as Worf's grandfather as their lawyer.
The original idea here, which is too complicated for me to get into, but this was the first time they talked about a reboot with younger people, with what would happen in 2009. Oh. They were like, let's see Kirk and Spock when they're just getting to the academy, and no one was on board.
Like the actors were upset, the fans were upset?
The actors and the fans
okay.
and Roddenberry were all pissed.
Oh, I didn't realize he was still alive at this point.
He died. Okay. Well, he was alive for production. He died 2 months before the film's release.
Oh, okay.
And not quite expensive baubles.
Expensive baubles.
Oh.
Two nominations, Robin.
But not for the Oscars?
No, two Oscar nominations.
Oh, makeup.
Yes.
And sound?
Which sound?
Oh, effects editing.
Yes, sound, okay. It was best sound effects then.
Okay.
They both lost both to the same film.
Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Correct.
Yes.
Very legitimate.
100%, yeah.
But it is the only Star Trek film to win the Saturn Award for Best Science Fiction Film.
Interesting.
Which seems surprising.
I'm guessing it has to do with competition or lack thereof.
Well, wouldn't Terminator 2 have...
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I don't know what the Saturn Awards...
Neither do I.
I don't know how they work. Yeah, so that's what this is. I'm sorry, that was much more broad strokes than... you know, the Faxy segment usually is because we haven't covered one of these so far. All of that said, this movie is a movie. Hey, I really love shaking the camera and having everyone go, whoa, to indicate impact.
I always love that.
It feels very 90s in a way that I like. Like it felt
because it's about the end of the Cold War.
Well, there's that.
Okay.
So the Klingons are Russians? Is that
actually,
always the case or is that just here?
No, no, no. The Klingons from the start have been analogs for, honestly, probably communist China, because Vietnam was actively happening. Mm. One of my favorite episodes of the original series is called A Private Little War. And it is about, you know, like, do you know what the prime directive is?
Not to interfere with developing planets?
Exactly. Very well done, Sean.
All right.
Yes. And basically, they are like, do we need to break the prime directive? Because the Klingons are arming this society.
Mm.
Right? And it's like, basically, do we need to do the Vietnam War? but anyway, yeah, the Klingons have always been an analog for the commies. And so I think it's really cool that they were like, Cold War's ending. Let's make it happen for our guys, too.
Yeah, that worked. You know, nothing about this doesn't work. I'm just not sure I'll remember it in a couple of days.
Okay. I'm genuinely curious. I'm like, how much of this not hitting? I understand why it's not hitting for Camila. You've made it very clear this is not your cup of tea. But for Sean, I'm like, how much of this is not remembering the Cold War?
Well, you're only a year older.
I know,
than me.
But I remember the Cold War as previously discussed on this show.
I don't know. I think that I want a space adventure.
Yeah.
Not a political thriller. And so since it's not the thing that I want, I'm like, this is fine.
Okay.
You know, I actually really like the prison stuff. That it feels like it's going. But a lot of the back and forth, it's like, you know, this is slightly more refined The Phantom Menace.
I would say significantly more refined.
Yeah.
And also, we're currently in a trade war.
That's true.
Phantom Menace is looking less stupid every day. I will say, watching this right after we voluntarily revived and lost the Cold War kind of hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just a hard time. Just a hard time. Let me see what else is in my notes.
Shatner is Shatnering real hard here.
Yeah.
Can you put in that clip?
I have personally vouched for you in this matter, Captain.
You have personally vouched.
You have personally vouched. I'm like, what? Are you leaning into you at this point, or is this just you didn't give a shit and this is what you default to in 1991?
Is this because I watched 6 Star Trek movies in 2 days, I am having that problem of, was it this one? But in one of them, he's like, they killed my boy. And it sounds like a sentence a human would say. And then he goes, they killed my boy. And then he says it like 3 more times more dramatically. Like it just keeps going.
Like they were redoing a take.
Yes!
Come on, Bassett, you killed my son.
Klingon bastard, you've killed my son. You Klingon bastard.
Literally like that.
Try it again. Try it again.
They killed my boy!
Is that my daughter in there?
Right, yeah. I want to sometimes defend William Shatner as Kirk, as, like, he really understands that character, and that sometimes results in what seems like good acting.
Like, he's been playing it for all of his life, for the most part.
I mean, I thought he was good in Wrath of Khan, in my other exposure to this.
Yeah.
But
I mean, like, everybody always talks about Khan, like, when he goes, Khan!
Yeah.
But, like, the most powerful thing he does in Wrath of Khan is when he goes, no. Like, I want to cry. I want to cry. Wrath of Khan is so good. What were we talking about? I had a thing to
say. I just was talking about how he's doing him very much in this movie, and that might have pulled me away from it, because the character's interesting, but this was what my cold open was about. When Spock is like, they're all going to die, and he's like, let them die. I'm like, I don't think I'm on your side anymore.
You're not supposed to be.
Not when David Warner and Christopher Plummer are classy Klingon in at the dinner party.
One of the things that is cool about this movie, like, one of the criticisms of Captain Kirk as a character that is regularly leveled is that he's always right.
Yeah.
And this is one of the only times I can think of where Kirk is wrong and knows he's wrong and feels bad about it. Mm. And, like, that's really cool. I mean, Kirk is usually right is the thing. Yeah. The other thing that this movie gets that I really love, like, people talk about, like, Kirk being a womanizer a lot.
Mm.
And he's not. He is a person who knows how to use his sexuality to get what he wants. He is routinely putting himself out there as like a honeypot in a way that like sometimes feels deeply sad, right? Like, and so I like that he flirted with Amon, and I also love that Bones was like, I don't understand you. How is this keep happening?
Yeah, I appreciated some of those comedic moments in yes. there. Like, I didn't get all of it, but it was nice, I guess. With me being so far removed from this franchise, mm-hmm. I don't know how serious it always is, or like it just feels like it's serious all the time. So I liked seeing these guys, you know, like crack a joke here or there. Yeah. And then like even Nichelle, there were like so many moments where she's just like over it. I don't know, like as an actor or as a character, but either way, it's just like, ah, she shuts off the thing.
I'm okay. I love Uhura. Full stop. I love that character. On the show, they like never knew what to do with her, right? So they would just, sometimes she would just sing a song. Sometimes she'd do a little dance, right?
Random.
It's just truly so random. I will send you a GIF later of something that happens in Star Trek V, which will change your whole life.
Hello, boys. I've always wanted to play to a captive audience.
But anyway... I do love her so much. I hated the scene where she doesn't speak Klingon. Of course she speaks Klingon. Why she's a communications officer.
Right, yeah. Like, even I know that.
Right.
About this, like, I feel like that's, like, number one on
yes,
a job.
Come on.
Yeah, that's, like, a communications whatever here on Earth. Like, no, I don't speak Spanish. Like,
what?
Like, you right. live in Florida and don't speak Spanish.
Right.
Like, nah.
Yeah.
Not buying it.
So, anyway, I'm deducting points for that move.
I forgot until this moment that Uhura is also Zoe Saldana.
Right.
Yeah.
She spent 15 years.
Academy Award winner, Zoe Saldana.
Recent Academy Award winner. Spent 15 years just bopping between Guardian of the Galaxy, Na'vi, and Uhura.
She's made a lot of people a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now she has some hardware for it.
And now she has an us. Good, yep. Good for her. Not in the way we usually say good for her.
Good for her.
Actually... legitimately.
Oh, I always.
You always. Do.
I am sincere, and every time I say good for her,
I am adding 2 points for that ugly alien snow dog. Liked that guy.
Oh
a
yeah,
lot.
I liked the kicking a bit, the shin being kicking him in the nards.
God. Your letterbox list is Kicked in the Balls: A Cinematic History of Testicular Trauma. Movies. And I'm glad they counted it.
Genitals at the same place.
Exactly.
Yes.
I appreciate Amon being in it.
She is just too beautiful. Also, I love the idea of being a shapeshifter and being like, this is the most beautiful right. I could be.
She's like, I want it to be pleasing to the eye.
This is the best I could do.
And Christopher Plummer.
Academy Award winner, Christopher Plummer.
Academy Award winner. His Shakespeare gimmick is right on the precipice. Like, sometimes he'll shoehorn a quote into a sentence and I'll be like, suave. And other times I'll be like, you're pushing it. Can you just say goodnight?
If he's going to make a big deal about how Shakespeare sounds better in the original Klingon, why does he keep saying it in English?
I don't know.
I mean, sorry, I don't want to go all CinemaSins on you, mm-hmm. but like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Shakespeare bits. I love the title of this film. It's a lie, though, right? Because is it the Undiscovered Country, the afterlife?
I thought they were saying it's...
the future. I mean, in Shakespeare.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not enough of an expert.
I'm also...
not it.
If you want to talk about, like, places where I feel insecure about my fandom, Shakespeare. I'm like, I am not smart enough to be a fan of Shakespeare, and yet
no,
I am.
No, I don't even pretend.
The Google robot result says it's refers to death and the fear of the unknown.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. If the AI is correct.
Yeah,
today.
Which, honestly, glue on the pizza, right?
What does glue on the pizza mean?
They said, how do you get your cheese to stick to your pizza? And they said, add glue.
AI?
Stop
yeah.
it.
That's
Stop
like
it.
The classic Google AI is garbage.
Oh, I don't know what I'm more upset at with that result or that somebody had to Google, how do you get cheese to stick to your pizza?
I assume they were using the wrong cheese. That's the only
I
way I can explain
I think any cheese
this.
Heated up on top of a bed of anything.
No, like the kind of cheese that you make fondue out of, for example, right? Like, it could get too slippy slidey.
I just Googled it, and the third result is, PSA, please don't use glue to make cheese stick to pizza, from foodie.com.
So Star Trek.
Sorry.
I know you have more points.
I mean, there's
points.
A million Star Trek episodes about bad AI.
I feel like Camila and I's contributions are exhausted here. And what I'm getting from that is this is not the one for casual or non-fans.
No.
No.
Maybe 2009 is. Wrath of Khan certainly is. This does not appear to be.
No.
Pop in on this one.
I also think The Voyage Home is it's just a fish out of water comedy. They go to 1984 San Francisco to save whales. Mm. And sure. It is genuinely funny. Like, Scotty picks up the computer mouse and talks into it and says, "Hello, computer."
So I would imagine, like, if there's anybody out there who has not ventured onto this voyage, it's all on Paramount Plus right now.
Yeah.
Go ahead and sell yourself in.
And if you have, what I want to say as a fellow Star Trek fan is this one is better than I remembered it being. Revisit it if you haven't in a while.
No, I certainly didn't dislike it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Should we rate it? Robin, you have a lot of unaddressed notes.
I know. Let me just make sure none of this is crucial. I mean, so much of it is me just writing down, like, badass lines. Like, if there's going to be a brave new world, our generation is going to have the hardest time living in it. I was like, woof! Oh, I don't like hearing that right now.
Wow. Yikes.
I was really excited to see Yeoman Rand. I'm sorry. She's now Communications Officer Rand. If you know, you know. Let's see. Logic is the beginning of wisdom, not the end.
Mm, you heard it, most of the internet.
Anyway, I like this movie a lot. I am going to subtract 3 points for disrespecting Uhura by saying she doesn't speak Klingon, and 2 points for the slow clap, and that is going to leave me at 71.
Mm. No, I started at 60 and added those dog points and got to 62. I mean, you know, it's not making it into my rotation, but I didn't have a bad time.
50. I mean, I.
you surrender?
Yeah.
A respectful 50. Right.
I respect you all that are involved in this. It's not for me.
61. 61 is the score. I'm sure if we had.
Oh, wait. I do just have to quickly say you talked about the humor thing. Bones is always wisecracking.
Oh,
and
is he?
Bones is one of my favorite characters, period.
Right on.
I love characters who are grumpy all the time, but ultimately good people.
Yeah.
We have a new bingo card. Camila, tell us about it.
Sweet fancy Moses, huh? Our new bingo card. We have Geek to Beauty, Talk of Springtime, Gadgets, Needle Drop, which I'm excited about. Because I love a good needle drop, and a terrible coworker.
Does it have to be a good needle drop or just like an aggressive needle drop?
Just a very aggressive, we know apparent. I know what you're doing.
We know it when we see it.
Yes.
Yeah. I think we can count Gadgets.
Yeah, dude.
And I think we can count terrible coworker.
Yeah.
Kim Cattrall's trying to start a war. That's not who you want in your bridge. Ah, it took me a minute. The bridge. That's where they hang out is the bridge. Anything else?
What year was this? 91?
Yeah.
Nope. Oh, wait. There was something. We have this secret square on Nomi on our bingo cards for the longest time where social media tells us we're wrong. And it finally happened on Twitter. Somebody disagreed with our opinion on, I don't remember what.
There's something about Mary.
Yeah, that was it. We even lost a follower, listener.
On an app we don't use anymore.
Oh, no. So sorry. I apologize for having an opinion.
Does anyone ever say, I'm not listening to this, reading this, watching this anymore, and expect the person to go, oh, I'm sorry. It's like, bye, bitch.
Right, I feel like that's a very boomer thing to do.
I have exciting news.
I am no longer shopping here because, you know, my mom is done.
I have really exciting news. I have a bingo.
Ooh, that's a bingo.
Oh,
what?
Yeah,
already?
I know.
Holy
yes.
Cow,
your free space and those three were in a line? Great.
Damn. All right.
Oh, I don't have to mark anything down.
Does that mean I get to pick a movie? This is my second bingo.
Second in this calendar year?
Yes.
In this calendar year?
It's
March.
I was the person who last got bingo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Look at you on a hot streak.
Is that the second bingo?
I think so.
Pick a movie?
Yes.
Not today, but next time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Woo!
But pick a Nomia. We're not in little tree territory.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Excellent. good.
It's none of the. She just flat out picks it. We don't have to like vote on anything.
Yeah.
No.
You always make it more. You put 72 movies in a shoe and bury the shoe in the backyard, and Kaj has to find it, and yeah.
Listen, I don't get out much, Sean. Let me have my excitement where I can get it.
All right. Well, we'll draw one today, and Robin will decide where we're going from there. So, you can't handle the truth. I guess Robin and I will start because we just watched...
Get it out of your system.
Black Bag. Steven Soderbergh's Black Bag. And it is just a nice movie of a movie.
It's a movie for grown-ups.
Okay.
You know, good cast. Hour and a half long.
Solid.
Compelling. Direct. Funny sometimes. Dramatic sometimes. Just a movie, but a really good just a movie.
But I really think people are going to hate it because it is just conversations.
Yeah, speaking of which.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it really does, like, I definitely thought it was going to be much more Mr. and Mrs. Smith vibes.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's just conversations, but really good ones.
It's good. It's like
the cast is really good.
We gathered you all around the dinner table to find out who's a traitor. It will be here for a while.
Yes, love it.
Cool.
Yeah, it's. I feel weird saying this because I wrote a long column about how all movies are better in the movie theater, and they are.
This will be great on your couch. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know how many people are going to be like, I have to run out and see Black Bag, versus the number of people who put it on when it's on streaming, put it on a plane, catch it on TNT. You know, it feels like a TNT movie. Like, people are going to find this and like it. Just as Robin said, know that it's not exactly
Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah. Cate Blanchett wears such great outfits.
I love her so much.
She's just so sexy in this movie. It's ridiculous. She's like everything. She is the guy from Bridgerton's in it and Michael Fassbender's in it. She's the sexiest person there.
Wow. That's saying a lot.
Although I was excited. There's a female character that I was like, I don't think I've ever seen this actress before, but I like her a lot.
She's very compelling.
And it's Marissa Abela. And our Pittsburgh Film Critics fellow member, Josh Axelrod, on the way out was like, yeah, Amy Winehouse. She was Amy Winehouse in Back to Black, which I don't like recognize her from that because that she's made up to look like Amy Winehouse. And here she's a normal person. She was really good.
She was really good.
The whole cast was really good.
Good movie. I recommend it.
Pierce Brosnan was really good.
And old.
He is.
He's
made me feel old.
Yeah. I'm like, what happened? He's leaning. And that's not a sexy lean. That's a I need support between takes lean.
Right. Why does James Bond look frail? His liver spots.
72, did we determine?
Yeah. 70,
71. He'll be 72 shortly. Yeah. Yeah. Do you think, but no, I want to know from you. Mm. You think of Pierce Brosnan first as what?
I guess James Bond.
That's weird because you're not James.
No, not. Well, maybe like the first thing that comes to mind is that movie that he was in with Rene Russo.
Oh, the Thomas Crown Affair.
Yeah.
Great movie. Mm.
That might be the first. That's the first movie that comes to mind.
Because I was saying I think of him more for Mrs. Doubtfire than James Bond, since I'm not really a James Bond. And right. My family watched Mrs. Doubtfire 100 times when I was a kid.
I always forget he was in that.
Drive-by fruiting.
Stew. More of a thick soup than a name. Robin, what else you got?
I watched the series Apple Cider Vinegar on Netflix.
Yeah,
did you watch
too.
That? I didn't like it.
I didn't finish it. Okay. I didn't like it.
I finished it, but I around episode 3, I was like, well, I'm going to finish this, but this is bad.
Yeah. I think I got through the second one. I was like, I don't want this anymore.
So I think that Caitlin Dever is really good. And I'm also exceptionally impressed with her Australian accent.
Mm.
I truly had a moment of like, is she Australian? Have
right,
I not?
Yeah.
Right. But I think the ultimate problem with that show is that it never considers why women don't trust or like their doctors.
Yeah.
And that's something I studied when I was in undergrad. It's actually part of my meet cute with Colin because I wrote a paper about people sending their difficult relatives away to tuberculosis sanitariums as like, stop annoying us. You have TB, go away. And my husband does TB research. So we talked about that. But there's a long history of medical science dismissing, ignoring, mistreating women. And that is part of the reason that people fall victim to this crunchy wellness bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And that is completely unexplored in favor of Bell Gibson is so pathetic and needy and Mila is so vain and selfish.
Right.
And it just feels sexist and limited to me.
Yeah. I think I mean, like I said, I didn't finish the whole thing and...
Don't. It's not
one,
worth finishing.
I'm not going back. Yeah. One, I think I was fed up, and I think it's just my own doing, but I was fed up with watching all of these programs about white women with a fucking scam and getting away with it for so long. And I was like, I can't do anymore. And plus it wasn't a good one. Second, I believe there is truth to a lot of the quote unquote crunchy wellness bullshit.
Yeah.
There's like, I mean, I don't believe that it can cure brain tumors, like to eat goji berries or whatever, but there to an extent, like, yes, that there, a lot of it rings true to living a healthy lifestyle and to like being physically healthy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like that show. I think maybe I would have enjoyed a docuseries better.
Agreed. And I think that there is one, because I think when I finished it, they were like, now watch this. Mm. And I was like, I kind of wish I started this. You should
show me this first.
Yeah. There's also, if you listen to the podcast Maintenance Phase, they have an episode about her, which is just a nice way to like get the whole story in like a 50-minute chunk.
Right on.
Yeah. And then I won the Oscars Death Race.
Nice. Congratulations. So,
yay, go me. So I saw No Other Land, which is devastating and hard to watch, but... you know, if there's somebody in your life who you think does not understand the genocide in Palestine and you want to give them something accessible to approach it, because the bulk of the movie, it's set in the West Bank. And so the bulk of the movie, it takes place before the attack on October 7th in 2023. I think it's a good primer in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Primer. I don't know. And Black Box Diaries on Paramount Plus also. I loved that documentary, but then I found out that the documentarian is like being sued by a lot of people for
what's
content
that one about?
It's about a woman who is raped by like a super powerful news media tycoon and goes public about it. And it's like her documenting her own story. She's a journalist, but it sounds like she maybe did some journalistic malpractice. Anyway, but it's interesting. I really enjoyed it. And also, I just wanted to say, good Oscars.
Yeah.
Good Oscars.
Yeah.
I hope Conan comes back.
Yeah, he should come. It's there was very little to have strong feelings about in any direction.
Yeah. I just think the reason that Conan worked as a host is because you can't cool kid the Oscars.
Yeah.
And, like, you can't smart ass the Oscars. And he just is like, I'm just going to have fun. I'm going to do weird shit. Mm-hmm. You can have fun and do weird shit around the Oscars as a sort of like sorbet for all of the sentimentality, et cetera.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sandworm playing instruments. Come on.
That was good.
Yeah.
That was good. No, it was fine. We don't have time to get into what you pointed out, which is movies that aren't Best Picture nominees have stopped winning Oscars. Like it used to be, you know, an action movie would win visual effects and whatever would win costume design and whatever would win makeup. And Robin... I'm speaking for you.
We noticed yesterday over poutine that every movie that won an Oscar this year at a feature other than documentary feature was a Best Picture nominee, or documentary feature and animated feature.
Right.
Everything else was a Best Picture nominee. That's very weird.
Mm-hmm. But they're spreading the...
Because there's 10 Best Picture nominees now, so like it's easier, but like it just... no reason for a complete unknown to have a costume nomination, is what I'm saying.
I think most of the voters aren't watching that many movies. I think they're getting through the 10. I think before nominations, they're getting through the 10 that end up being the Best Picture nominees and probably 5 to 10 others.
Right.
But they're not, you know, watching 80 movies.
Why am I showing more commitment to the Pittsburgh Film Critics Association Awards than Academy members are to the Oscars?
How many movies is that you had to watch?
Last year, I watched 86 movies.
Good Lord.
Yeah. I'm going for 100 this year.
No, just for the Death Race.
Oh, sorry. 35. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is that when I first started doing this, it was always around 40, right? It just keeps, the number keeps going down.
Last year was low for me at 108. I forget, there was some, I feel like 2019 was really high.
I did, one year I went, I said, I'm going to try for 100, and then I got to 120, and I was like, well, I should get to 125, shouldn't I? So, like, the last week of the year, I was like, got to watch a movie every day.
Yeah, 2019, I did 146.
And I do remember kind of having that thing of, like, what other movies are there?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what made-for-Netflix thing do I need to watch?
I'm at 9 so far this year. No, Black Bag was my 10th movie of the year. You gotta take the time when you have it and go see. So my friend Max told me to go see that movie where Woody Harrelson's in the water.
Oh, God, that looks awful.
And he said it was pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, Camila, what have you watched?
Well, I watched 84 movies last year.
Okay, good.
New movies. Okay, so Luther, Never Too Much, Luther Vandross documentary.
How is that?
It's fine. Okay. I was expecting something a little bit deeper.
Do you have feelings about him pre-existing this documentary?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, well, not strong ones, just for the fact that, like, you know, I grew up with Luther Vandross just being around, playing around, you know, when mom was sad, when mom was happy, mom was cleaning, you know, there was a Luther Vandross song that coordinates with that, that coincides with those emotions, those timings. And, you know, when you're a kid, it's just like, oh, God, it's this stuff again. But as an adult, I have grown to appreciate a lot of his mm-hmm. songwriting and performance. So that said, I was expecting, it's not as deep as it feels very shallow. Mm. It feels like we're just skimming the surface. Like, yes, they mention like the big points in his life that one would assume would be in a documentary, but we don't really get into them. And that's what I feel like is missing. But besides that, I mean, I still enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for it for like ever. I was like, oh my God, let's come on with this. Let's do this. And now I'm just waiting for the biopic. So, which I would like Titus to play.
Oh, Luther my Vandross. God.
Oh, yeah.
I love that idea.
Mm-hmm. You know? Sonic the Hedgehog. I finally watched that because Kaj wanted to watch it for whatever reason. Okay.
Because I'm sure kids are talking about it at school. Like totally popular with the kiddos.
Yeah. And it's cute. I enjoyed it. Yeah. I like Jim Carrey in it. We've watched it probably 12 times this week. Mm-hmm. I keep trying to get her. I was like, you know, there's two more. She's like, man.
Kids.
Are you interested in a fox with two tails?
Right, yeah. Huh? I started to watch it without her, actually. Mm-hmm. it's enjoyable. I really like Jim Carrey's dancing. I also watched Lilo and Stitch for the first time. She is really into that all of a sudden. This is my kid. She identifies with the bad.
Yeah.
Boy. Like, she is all about fucking Stitch. Like, she made me draw a mask, which I'm like, real. I was proud of myself for what I did, because I firsthand freestyle, like, I will show you on your way out. Like, I am proud of that bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Presents.
Oh, what do you think about Presence?
I liked.
So you loved it.
I liked the message.
Uh-huh.
I liked what the story was.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting a little seasick with the camera movements
for a minute. Yeah.
That was kind of bothering me. I don't buy Lucy Liu and Toby from This Is Us as a couple. Like, I don't.
Well.
They don't seem to like each other very much.
True,
yeah.
But like, at what point would they have ever even like, give it a go?
One of my favorite things about that movie is how there's just little things going on you never really find out. Like, Lucy Liu's white collar crime. Like, she's doing some crime. Remember, he's like on the phone and he's like, hey, a friend of mine maybe thinks his wife is maybe doing crime.
I didn't hear what he was saying. Mm-hmm. I just thought he was trying to get a divorce lawyer.
I think that Lucy Liu used to be fun and stopped.
That's
why I think they used to like each other.
That makes sense.
But you are right. For their current selves, it doesn't make sense.
And I also,
she's also too pretty for him.
Yeah. And, you know, nothing against Toby. But I also did like how he stood up for his daughter.
Yeah.
Like, to the son. It was like, you know, you come at her again, I'm coming at you. I'm like, get him. That's right. Because that's one of the tropes that I really hate is siblings, like, treating each other badly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that trope.
The sibling relationship here is really interesting.
It is.
And I also like this. I always feel kind of bad saying this, but I like that this movie shows parents having favorite kids because my parents had favorite kids. I was my dad's favorite.
I mean, it was I kind of get that.
Yeah.
But it's also a really weird mother-son dynamic.
Well,
there.
Like, 100%.
Like, the fuck? Like, get out of his pants. Like, stop.
Yes, but that's a real thing that happens and people don't put it in movies.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, unfortunately, that's a real thing that happens. Yeah. I mean the thing where the mother is like, You are my star. You are everything good in this world, yeah. Right? That just sometimes happens with parents with one of their kids.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine, you know, but Yeah. So, I mean, it wasn't until the end I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I like this movie because I was, for a while, I was like, I don't know. But I recommend it. And it's short.
Yeah.
Also, La Dolce Via, don't bother.
I saw your letterbox and I was like, okay.
And The Monkey.
How'd you like that?
That's what I'm here to talk about.
Okay, great.
It was fun.
It was very fun. It's funny. Pure comedy.
I really liked it. It's very Final Destination. Like, if Final Destination hadn't, you know, we had a physical origin for those things that happened. Like, you have something to blame on that was physical.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was a really good time. A lot of dark humor. Like, the cheerleaders.
Okay, though. That... I still like it. I give 7 out of 10, 3.5 stars, whatever you want to call. I do think there needs to be one person around Osgood Perkins at all time saying, why do you want to, can you explain these cheerleaders? So in one scene when they're carrying somebody's remains out, there's a bunch of cheerleaders and they go, they're bringing our corpse out, and they start cheering.
Yeah.
And then we don't see them until the end of the movie where they're cheering for the end of the movie.
For the end of the world?
Out of a bus and a...
Yeah.
And it's like, now, okay. Interesting thought. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Why?
Yeah.
What is the point?
I was very confused by that.
And there was a lot of that in Long Legs, too. It's like, why is there a floating orb in everybody's head?
Yeah.
It's... He's on the list. He's on my list of just direct. Let someone else write the script and you can just direct. But that said, it's much more satisfying than Long Legs because it's funny and because it's, you know, it's got a pretty good cast and it's, you know, just a wacky time. Too many people explode. like the lady explodes from touching electrified water. That's not what happens.
How electrified is it?
I mean, it's very electrified, but she like touches the surface and her body
separates all over the place.
That doesn't sound like science.
No.
And it's like, and most of it is, you know, Theo just, huh, what the fuck? Shit. Yeah. You know, his reactions. Mm-hmm. Like, that's most of his role is reacting to this nonsense. There was another point, but, I appreciate that way it started with, what's his name? Adam, is that Adam McKay? That lets you know. It's like, this is the tone we're setting. Like, bring this guy here. First shot, first scene. This is, now you know what you're getting into.
And Adam McKay, the director?
No. Adam.
Scott, sorry.
Adam Scott.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Ben White.
Yeah.
And just enough backstory. Mm. You know, 3 minutes of, this is his dad. He found weird stuff. He found this thing. It's bad. He can't get rid of it. Right. That we don't need any more than that.
Yeah, and there was no, like, deep mythology as, like, oh, this came from this ancient Chinese blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah, it's a good time. I'm thinking about going back because I saw Mary Beth didn't see it with me, and I would absolutely watch that again. You were going to talk about Captain America before I get to mine.
Oh.
I mean, The Monkey was most of mine.
Just that it's bad. and it's frustrating because, like, Winter Soldier is probably my personal favorite MCU movie. Like, Black Panther is, like, a better artistic achievement, but, like, I love Winter Soldier. And they truly were like, we're just going to do all the things we did in Winter Soldier again, but we're going to add President Hulk. Mm-hmm. And yikes. Nightmare of a movie, and of course it is, because they can't come down on the side of it's bad for a Hulk to be president, that you stand for nothing. And this is not the time to stand for nothing, Disney.
No.
It was a less effective political thriller than Star Wars VI, or Star Trek.
Star Trek. God, it's okay. It. I do it too, all the time.
Yeah, no need to see that. I have hope for you've seen the at least one Thunderbolts trailer now.
I gotta say, I feel bad. I really am looking forward to Thunderbolts.
It, like, just looks good.
They have me with Florence Pugh's teal eyeliner and Possum Kingdom. I'm like, yep.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I have to watch that trailer. I really like her.
Also, Bucky puts his goddamn arm in the dishwasher. Like, take my money.
Yeah, like, let's have a good time.
Yes.
It looks like it might just be fun.
So, hopefully that's a good movie.
And I like that ghost villain, despite not being able to remember what movie she's from.
I think Ant-Man 2.
Yeah. Didn't you see Dog Man? You didn't see Dog Man.
I did see Dog Man.
How's Dog Man?
Oh, Dog Man's really fun.
Okay.
It's pretty chaotic, and they keep talking about montages and then not doing a montage.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I already talked about The Monkey. The Liza Minnelli documentary.
Oh.
Liza, a truly terrific, absolutely true story. I'm just happy she's here to be in that documentary. I mean, you know, she's interviewed extensively for it and seems pretty happy and content. And
Sean texted me, can I refer to Liza Minnelli as an EGOT? And I thought she died. My answer was no.
This movie is loaded with people you thought were dead. It's Ben Vereen, Mia Farrow, Cheetah Rivera, Joel Grey, all talking about Liza Minnelli. Wow. Any one of them could have been dead.
Yeah.
But they're all here. It is very, I don't want to say uncritical, because there's not actually a lot to be critical of her for, besides getting married a lot and doing some drugs when everyone was, you know.
Yeah, she also grew up in the kind of environment that encourages that.
But it's very, like, it does not spend a lot of time on the fact that, like, she didn't have a great ride.
Yeah.
You know, it really glosses over her parents. I mean, it tells you enough to know that, like, it wasn't always fun being Judy Garland's daughter.
Yeah. Mm.
But you get the impression that she doesn't want to talk about that, so the movie doesn't talk about a lot about that. Same with, you know, rehab and drugs and everything else.
Shh, they're strapping down Liza Minnelli.
It addresses it, but it's like an hour and a half in, and we spend more time on, you know, how close friends she was with, which one's Ebb? Fred Ebb of Kander and Ebb.
I don't even know what that is.
They wrote Cabaret in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. I'm not a musicals person.
Anyway, it's like, here are all of the good parts of Liza Minnelli's life. And I guess we'll address them today. But look at how happy she is. Like, but, you know, it's who better to hang out with for the length of a documentary? And
this streaming or is it in theaters?
It is in theaters right now. I'm sure it'll be streaming somewhere soon.
I feel like the way to get away with that, by the way, is make it about the art. If you focus on Liza Minnelli's
what she contributed,
art, right, then her personal life and substance problems are much less relevant.
I finally saw Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Oh, man. How's that? I loved it when I was a kid.
Yeah, it's just stupid enough to work.
Yeah.
A lot of movies like that don't at all. Yeah. Like, wacky, low-budget, bad effects, bits. It comes together just enough.
Good.
Yeah, saw a Western I like called God's Gun. Jack Palance, Lee Van Cleef, Sybil Danning.
Nice. Mm.
Leif Cassidy as a child.
Leif Cassidy?
I don't know who that is.
Not Leif Cassidy, Garrett? Leif Garrett.
Okay.
Who's Leif Cassidy?
David Cassidy.
I combined the two of them.
You're resident old head here.
Yeah.
You're going to clear up your you were born mix-ups. Right.
Let's draw a movie. We landed on Nutty Professor 2, The Clumps.
Do I have a veto?
You do.
Veto.
Exercise my veto, man.
Okay.
I do love the song from that movie.
Oh, I remember that.
Janet Jackson song?
Yeah.
That had a loaded soundtrack.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I can't.
Nutty for you.
Not enough time has passed since Norbit. I don't know how long ago Norbit was.
This was a well-executed veto. Thank you, Camila.
But
us stuck with whatever.
We are certainly trapped in now. We have nothing we can do. We must watch Mr. Peabody and Sherman, the animated take on the old Rocky and side characters to Rocky and Bullwinkle, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was kind of curious.
Oh, Mr. Peabody.
I was kind of curious because
I loved Rocky and Bullwinkle as a kid.
And they were my favorite part of the show as a kid.
I'm with you, Sean. We should watch this.
Mr. Peabody and Sherman is very available. You can rent it anywhere. It's 92 minutes long. Fine.
Okay, yeah.
We'll be fine. And then I'll come in with a confirmed excellent choice.
I'll tie Burrell as Mr. Peabody. Okay.
Okay, great.
Beyonce isn't streaming, is she?
The Beyonce pass.
For those who did not miss this,
For over a year.
Damn it, woman.
We have been waiting.
We drew Renaissance, a film by Beyonce, the concert movie, and then we're like, oh, this isn't streaming anywhere.
Like, you can't pay for it. It cannot be watched. You cannot buy it. This is not available on home video.
Nope. Renaissance is still not available. I'm sure she's holding out for a more favorable deal. Like, good for her, but
I feel like she's just moved on. She's just like, I'm on other projects.
Already forgotten about it.
But didn't she already have a thing on Disney Plus?
Yes.
There was something there.
So what? And like, if they gave Taylor Swift enough money, I'm sure they'd give her enough money.
Wait, wasn't it Netflix that Beyonce was on?
Yeah. That was, yeah. But it was also like that first one was HBO, and then the other right. one, then the next one was Netflix.
Lemonade was HBO. Homecoming was Netflix.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Peabody okay. and yeah. Sherman yeah. next time on the number one movie in America. Before we get there, Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, released December 6th of 1991. What was the number one song in America?
December. Wilson Phillips.
Ooh, good. Good.
No.
Okay.
Mariah Carey?
Mm-mm.
Madonna?
No.
Cher?
No.
Give us some kind of direction.
Nelson.
What is Nelson?
Nelson.
I can't live without your love.
Oh. Two brothers, oh, long man. Blonde hair.
Oh, man, that song rules.
I know, I just heard it yesterday.
Absolutely a, like, crank it up, roll down the windows, pretend that I'm young right. song.
Whitney Houston.
No. This is certainly a giant hit.
Sting.
I mean, I think I can safely say that this person is more famous than everyone you've mentioned.
Michael Jackson.
Thank you.
Okay.
The Way You Make Me Feel?
No. Bad. No, you're too early. Those are too early.
Black or White?
Correct.
Okay.
Lead single off of Dangerous? That's, or was Dangerous the lead single?
Nah, and was this the one where they yeah. premiered the video after The Simpsons?
Yeah, and George Wendt and Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember like being excited to watch that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Core memory unlocked. I remember watching that.
Yeah.
And I was confused. Doesn't it end with the thing where he's...
Breaks the car.
He breaks the car and he's dancing on the car.
Yep.
And he rips his shirt off.
Oh, yeah.
And I was scandalized because at six, I truly believed that Michael Jackson was a woman. like the high voice and the long hair. No one had ever specified for me, just so you know, this
just,
is a...
That's just a... Well, for me. I'm just gonna,
I didn't... Well, like if someone sits you down and declares the genders of the celebrities. So my analysis in 1991, I thought I was like, oh, that's that lady.
I don't know what to do with that.
Did you know what he looked like before
no.
he started having surgeries and stuff?
I hadn't seen him. I was six. I had six. You know, maybe I'd seen him in the bad era, but he has at that point, very soft features, long hair, yeah, high yeah. voice.
I never ever would have thought of that, but now I'm like, okay, I guess.
Yeah.
All
right. I guess.
Wild.
I'm pretty sure I said something like, she's not allowed to take her shirt off on television.
That was his sister.
Number one. Oh, I didn't remember that until just now.